Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Well, welcome back to the Worcester Naz podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us again this week. I'm Pastor Andrew, checking in here with Pastor Joel. He just spoke this last Sunday here in the second week of our series. So Pastor Joel, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be back. I'm a veteran now. This is my second time. I'm more comfortable. Yeah, it's amazing.
We're settling in.
Yes.
This is my second time on this side of the table. I've been over there once.
Okay. So I'll catch up to you someday.
Yeah. I am freezing cold though. So if I'm shivering, I'm not nervous. I'm just so cold. When you spoke just on Sunday, one of the things you did, starting out, something we typically do is recapping from the week before. Mm-hmm. And the Sunday before you spoke, we had our Christmas worship with the kids, everybody involved. And it was an awesome Sunday. So many awesome things happened. But I just wanted to hear a little bit more from you about that Sunday in particular, why some of the intergenerational things that that represents for our church, why that's so important, and like what that means to us here at Worcester Naz.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of reasons why it's important. First, it just gives you warm fuzzies. Yeah. I mean, on a very surface level, but having the kids in there. But even more so than that, though, I think it's truly important for our kids to know that they are part of the church. Yeah. You know, one thing we try and do around here is to avoid what we call silos, you know, where you've got this ministry, this area, and we all just do our own thing, and that can be very dangerous. And so having our kids as part of the main gathering on Sunday, I think, overlaps some of those areas, and it's just a beautiful thing. But they know that they're part of the church. It's not the adults and then the kids are over here, but we're all doing it together. And anytime we can do anything intergenerational like that, where they know that people other than just Pastor Cindy and Gail love them and care about them, and that's always a win for sure.
I got to play bass, and my son Judah was flashing me gang signs from the top step and playing with the stage mic and all the different things.
So I will say, from the front row, there's always a lot of really fun things that you pick up from the kids.
I know some of the angels, at least in first service, were playing rock, paper, scissors during Pastor Sin's message.
They were. I was trying not to get engaged with them from the front row.
Oh, man, that's so good. Yeah, and we'll do that again this coming Sunday, the last Sunday before Christmas. We all get to worship together. Yes. Not kids on the stage for that.
No, but everybody will be together in church together. Won't be any kids area stuff going on Sunday, so it'll be really good.
I think, too, those things go a long way for, you know, people often say this place feels like home and family, and when we get to do those things, it's like we are that family together, and it's so important who we are.
Absolutely.
Well, you were in week two of the series, and the title of your message was about, you're preaching about Joseph, and your message was God Pleaser, right? Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm remembering correctly. And you were talking through, you know, Joseph gets this news from Mary, and like, I don't know if I believe that story. I love the way you set that up. But Joseph's initial response, I think it was pretty unique before the angel came to him, I'm talking. Mm-hmm. His response to this news from Mary, how is it different from maybe the way our culture is today, how people might respond to that same type of scenario?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know from scripture, I mentioned on Sunday, that Joseph was considered a righteous man. And so when he responds, you know, he gets the news, and regardless of what he was feeling inside and how crazy he thought it was or the turmoil that was going on, the word tells us that he didn't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. He wanted to dismiss of things quietly and really, really respect and honor her. And I think compared to our culture today, so many things, it gets made about us. Mm. And one of the ways to make it easy about us is to tear down others, you know, to play a blame game or just make others look bad, that type of thing. But the way that he was just going to, at that point before his dream and the encounter he had with the angel, how he was just going to dismiss things quietly, not make a spectacle of anybody, and really honoring her in that way, honoring the Lord in that way too, I would say, is a difference from maybe what we might see in society around us.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's pretty common in our society today. It's almost like we're looking for people to mess up so we can blast it and prove like I am the better one, I am the right one, and that's really dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's It's a dangerous and destructive way. We want to make ourselves look better by making others look bad. But
it's so interesting because in the biblical context, like that whole thing was such a big deal. Like it's hard for us to understand the culture of that. Like this was like the biggest TMZ news of the day. And like the thing that everybody would want to know about in their community. Right. And Joseph still wanted to do the honorable thing and did not want to disgrace her.
Right.
And like, that speaks so much to his character and who he was.
Yeah, absolutely. And his relationship with the Lord, where he is at with God at that time, it does. It speaks a lot to that.
Yeah. So the angel comes to Joseph then and says, do not be afraid. And you have this really big point around the difference between being scared and living in fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good delineation that you made. Like you're scared. I was just at the Boston Museum with my kids on vacation here this fall. And like, there's this atrium in the middle and you go up and up and up four levels, but you can still see the whole way down. Like my feet were heavy.
I understand that.
And like that scared, like you're scared not to jump off. That's different from like being in fear and fearful of the what ifs and this could happen. So then you're almost paralyzed by fear.
Right.
And I was wondering if you can think about an example from your life where I was like, man, I could really be fearful here, but I'm going to choose to trust the Lord. Like an example of navigating some of that for yourself.
Right. Well, I just briefly hit it on this past Sunday and I've talked in depth about it in past. But for me, I mean, tithing, we just came through the extreme generosity. Nate and I talked about this a little bit in our last podcast, but that was when I really was convicted and felt the Lord directing Lisa and I to start tithing. Like there was some fear there of, okay, what are things going to look like financially for us? You know, how are we going to provide, that type of thing? So that's one time where it would have been easy, maybe even some say natural, to have that fear. But that's where we have to trust in the Lord, and that's real easy to say sitting in this seat, you know, when it's in the past. But that's what we're called to do, is to trust in Him and take Him at His word. And the more we do that, the more steps we take of trusting in Him and being obedient. And we see how God works and we see how He moves and we see how faithful He is, then those steps down the line become a little bit easier because He's proven Himself in the past time and time again.
Yeah. So I can think of leading a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. This is before I came back home to Worcester Naz. I was on staff in another church, and me and my wife, Sam, were kind of co-leading this trip. It was all young adults our age. And like, I was fearful because the whole thing was so out of my realm of like leadership where I had done before, and thinking of all these worst case scenarios. And it's like, we get there and there's these military checkpoints and half the women's luggage was on the other side of the island. It didn't come for four more days. Yeah. And like, there was a lot of things that went wrong on that trip, but the Lord was so faithful. And like these scenarios I'd set up in my head, like for the worst case scenario, like the Lord already had to handle it all the way along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. We get, when we live in that spirit of fear, when we allow that to be overwhelming, is the what ifs happen. To me, that's the biggest part of fear, is that we create these what ifs in our head.
Yeah.
We let the enemy, you know, let the enemy lead us down a path that most of the time doesn't even happen.
Right.
But that's why it's so important to take our thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ, being in the Word so we can identify the lies of the enemy or even things that we just think up on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the mission trip trail of thought, you and I have had the honor of being on several mission trips, leading several mission trips, even doing that together. I call you affectionately DJ Joel when we were in Jamaica. Yaman.
No problem.
But one of the things I remember specifically about some of our Nazarene family in Jamaica, who we just got to bless through that incredible offering that people gave through Outlinks here recently, is being there and worshiping with them on a Sunday morning. They have like no worry about what other people are thinking about them. And you were talking about this fear of looking foolish. And when I think about those people they're worshiping, like they do not care about what other people think about them at all. They're just them and the Lord and worshiping, and it's unashamed. And it reminds me of David in the Bible, the context it talks about there. And so I'm just wondering, like, why is that so different from what it feels like for us maybe back here in America, back home? Mm-hmm. What's the maybe the disconnect or some of the challenges of why we can't just be unashamed, or maybe how could we do better at doing that?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that, again, speaks easy is we have to think about who is most important for us to please. Mm. And the easy answer is God. He should be the one that we're trying to please more than anybody. She should be the focal point, the only one that really matters. But I think maybe, my opinion, maybe partly because our society is very affluent. I mean, when you think about the wealth of our nation and the things that we have that so much of the world doesn't have. And I think those things kind of create a status and a bit of pride in us, causing us maybe to take ourselves too seriously, putting too much emphasis on those things, or too much trust in stuff, things, tangible things instead of the Lord.
Yeah.
Can cause us, I think, honestly, just to be a little bit insecure about what people think. We want to put this image forward where it looks like we've got it all together and all that. And I love our family in Jamaica that just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And I would say comparatively, they have nothing of what we
were talking
about.
From an economic perspective,
right?
Or whatever.
But like those, they're some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life, and love the Lord and just are serving him in incredible ways.
Yeah. There's something to it, I believe, that when you have a lot, it's easy to become dependent on that as opposed to the Lord, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And we can fall victim to that at times.
For sure. And all of that comes into this people-pleasing mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's almost like this self-fulfilling prophecy of like, well, I'm going to keep pleasing people and keep pleasing. And we get stuck in this cycle of just pleasing other people. And so I've been thinking about that since you were speaking. And like that like hit me in the middle of the forehead, because I am such a people pleaser. That is my natural tendency.
Me too.
And that's, I think it's a lot of us. But like that's been something I really had to navigate, especially like in adult relationships and even like with my parents and things like that, of like, where are boundaries? Where are guardrails? Where do you draw some of those lines of not just always saying yes to everybody all of the time?
I try not to say yes to Deb.
Well, I do too, but... It's a little different when she's on my speed dial, right? But it's, how can we maybe deprogram ourselves from some of that people pleasing thing? I wrote here, like, how do we walk the line between listening to wisdom from other people and taking good counsel, but also being obedient to where God is calling us? Like, that's kind of a tricky road to walk sometimes.
Right. Well, I think, first off, I think we have to be honest with ourselves about who is the person or the people that we're maybe giving too much of an ear to, that we're trying to please. This isn't necessarily like a spiritual or application, but you know, Dave Ramsey will talk about when it comes to money, you know, we want to spend money we don't have to impress people we don't even know, you know?
Yeah.
But I think if we're honest with ourselves, the people that we're giving ear to, the people that we're trying to please, the people that we want the approval of and applauds of, are they even those that we really should be giving ear to, or does, you know, how much should that really matter? Obviously, knowing the Lord's voice, and for us, that really comes through the Word so often, I think is a big part of that. If I know the Word, if I've got the Word in me, and I realize I'm trying to please somebody, and that whatever I'm doing or not doing is contradicting God's Word,
yeah.
Obviously, that's a big red flag, and I need to not worry about pleasing them and focus on pleasing God. But again, it's one of those things. It's relatively easy to talk about. I think a lot of us have, you know, the right answers, but when the pressure really comes, and those voices are there, the talk's there, the influence is there, it can be really hard not to try and please people. And yes, as followers of Christ, we want to be a blessing to people.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between blessing people, being kind, being loving, versus making decisions based on what other people say or think versus what God does. So
I think too, some of the deprogramming is just these daily moments, and it's a choice each time.
Yeah.
I heard somebody was challenging me recently of, you know, who do you want to be in the future? And really that person is based off of the choices you make today. So mm-hmm. some of this deprogramming of people pleasing is like, okay, here's a scenario. I'd normally just roll over and say yes, and I just want to make this person happy no matter how it affects me or my life or is bad for me, whatever. Right. And say, okay, I'm going to say no this time, as hard as that is, and set mm-hmm. this new pattern. It's like a choice each time along the way.
Right. And I think, and when we, you know, if we do, if it's a no that we need to say, again, more the more times that we do what we feel God would really want us to do, and we say no and realize the world not only didn't end, but we see God's hand in that, it just creates that, you know, we call it muscle memory, like if we're talking about athletics or whatever,
yeah.
that type of thing. And the more we walk in His will, His way, the more it just becomes a natural part of who we are. But it is. It's a tough thing to do. It really is.
It's, I mean, it's back to that trust and obey thing again. Yeah. It's like trusting that the Lord is guiding you and being obedient to where that guidance is, yeah. is showing you yeah. what direction that is.
Right, right. And it, I use the example on Sunday about kids jumping into a pool,
yeah.
you know, into the pool and me catching them. And really it comes down to the relationship. If I'm in a pool saying, jump to me as their dad, who they know loves them and I've been there in their lives consistently always, versus if a stranger's in the pool and says, jump to me,
right.
there's a whole different mentality there. So the relationship really is key in order for us to be able to step in out in trust and obedience.
Yeah. Another thing you talked about, I wrote a direct quote, you said,
I didn't say it.
It's on the video. I just watched it again today. You said, anything we have to give up or lose will pair in comparison to what we gain by being obedient to Jesus. And you were reading that.
You're right. I did say that.
You did say that. You were reading that out of Matthew 10, but I wanted to read back from that in that same type of context where that was in Matthew, but I'm going to read this out of Mark, and I'm just going to read this. This is about the rich young ruler. I'm going to start in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. So just stick with me here for a minute as I read this. It says, as he was starting out on a trip, a man came running to Jesus, and he knelt down and asked, good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was a child. Jesus felt a genuine love for this man as he looked at him. You lack only one thing, he told him. Go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. And he went sadly away because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for rich people to get into the kingdom of God? This amazed them. But Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to get into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, which we just hit this verse in the Extreme Generosity series as well. Verse 26, the disciples were astounded. Then who can be saved? They asked. Then Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. And then we move right into that section that you read for us on Sunday about the first will be last and the last will be first. And when I think about this whole concept, this whole idea, when we're talking about fear of losing things, fear of giving up, like really, I think it's just this fear of if I fully surrender my life to Jesus, what does that actually mean? Like if in this, when we're not just, again, talking about money, this is a biblical principle we're talking about, this surrender thing. In this story, the guy couldn't do it. The rich young ruler, he couldn't do it because he had so much stuff and it got in the way. And he was so afraid of losing that. And I think for us today, we can be so afraid of, man, if I really trust and obey, what does that actually mean for my life?
Right. Yeah, it's... we love control. Obviously, we want to be in control because then we think we know the outcome, which that's not always the case either. That's
almost never.
Almost. And I was just, I think I was talking with one of my kids the other day. They're all young adults and, you know, moving into the realm of more responsibility and marriages to come and that type of thing. But I was thinking back, like when I was a kid, how wonderful it was to not be the one in charge. You know, yeah. You grow up and you just want to get older and be in charge and all this. And then you get older, you're in quote unquote in charge and you got all these responsibilities. You're like, I just want to be a kid again. Somebody tell me what to do and, you know, take care of me, that type of thing. And this amazing freedom that there is as a child, you know, I was blessed, grew up in a home with two loving parents and just to be able to trust them and the freedom that comes in that, the joy that's in that, and really parallel that to our walk with Christ. That's kind of what we're called to be like, you know, yeah. The word tells us, you know, faith like a child. And if you think about that, like when you're a child, there's kind of like no worries, you know, except for mom or dad tell you, you got to eat everything on your plate right. or whatever. But there really is, there's just this freedom because somebody's there taking care of you and you can just trust them. Obeying is not always easy, but you know that they're looking out for your best interest. And so that I try and think in that mindset when I think about relationship with the Lord and just being able to trust him, because he does know best.
Yeah.
And that can bring freedom. That can allow weight to fall off, if you will.
Absolutely. You wrapped up your third point about this fear of failure and then kind of went into the whole trust and obey. And we sang the song out there about, like, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I love that. Mm-hmm. So what a great reminder. And in another context, I was kind of telling a little bit of our story as I was saying it a little bit ago. Like, it's been 10 years now since me and Sam came back home. Mm-hmm. There's been so many things that have happened in those 10 years. But 10 years ago, when we were coming home, there was a lot of, like, we were really struggling through this trust and obey thing. Because the Lord made it very clear that we were supposed to come home. But when we did come home, we were living in my parents', I call it their attic.
Things didn't work out quite the way you were expecting right away.
Not at all. Like, all of our stuff was in the church basement, all of our belongings. Mm-hmm. We had two dogs living in a one-room bedroom with a toilet in the middle of it. It's a whole thing. I wish you all could see this.
That's another podcast. Yeah,
that's another podcast. But it's just... And these things kept happening. The transmission on my Jeep blew. Our house finally sold after a year and a half in Warren, and we lost all of this money on this house. And my taxes had been done incorrectly for 2 years, and I owed the government all of this money. And, like, in the middle of that, like, it was like the worst case scenarios were all happening. It was like, Lord, why? Like, what do you? We were obedient. We came home, and all of those things were so right here in our face. But now, 10 years down the road, we can look back and see how the Lord was setting things up at just the right time. That's what the Bible says. At just the right time, we reap the harvest of the blessing that he pours out on us when we trust and obey. And I'm not saying that we always did that right, but this fear of failure thing can get so big in our lives when the Lord is like, I got this. He's like, just give it time.
Right.
And we can have that perspective down the road, but we just need to remember in the moment, like, really, we can actually trust him. And he is so good and so faithful every single time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've shared with people over the years that one thing we have to be careful of is to not gauge our obedience to the Lord or if it is God's will or his way based on the earthly results that we get.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be easy for you move back home and all these things seem to be going wrong to say, well, that must not have been, we must have done the wrong thing or because it didn't work out right.
Yeah.
From a human perspective, from an earthly perspective, but trusting and obeying God doesn't mean that everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows and that everything's going to be perfect. It means that we just simply trust and obey and he'll work it out. At some point, some way.
And we don't have to live a lifestyle of fear.
That's right.
The angels call do not fear
and
live in freedom instead.
Right.
That's so good.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been great. Thank you for recapping some of this.
Thanks for having me back.
I'm excited for our nights of worship coming up Friday night, the 19th, and Sunday night, the 21st. We'll have Christmas worship all together Sunday morning, the 21st.
Yes.
It's going to be great too. As Pastor would say, to slow down and enjoy the moments of the blessing season.
That's right.
That's what we're going
to
try
to do. We need to slow down and enjoy it. There might be a reference to that also in story time with Pastor Joel coming up on Sunday.
A little cliffhanger there.
Just a little bit.
All right. Well, hopefully you tune in for that. Hopefully you tune in again next week for the podcast. Thanks for joining us. We love you a lot. We'll see you real soon.